welcome to Live Dharma Sunday. It's Koyo Kubosa here, broadcasting from Redwood City this morning. We're on the road and in a very rainy day, blustery, cold day. But California could use the rain, so we cannot complain. And I'd like to go right into our Dharma Glimpse for today. And we have a guest, Dave Nicchio, of Chicago. His Dharma name is Nicchio, which means everyday sunshine. That'll make that light shine every day. And so, without further ado, Dave Nicchio Sensei.
Well, thanks for letting me give a Dharma glimpse. I actually glimpsed this Dharma glimpse about 6 weeks ago. It's one that built over time. And after, you know, kind of brewing, I had an epiphany of sorts that made me say, what the hey? And my Dharma glimpses often, but not always, involve kind of a culminating phrase of, Dave, you're an idiot. So we've had a very mild winter in Chicago this year, with only a few snowfalls of any real significance. And the biggest of them came in late January when we got about 6 inches of snow in my neighborhood. And this isn't really a big snow for a native Chicagoan. You know, I had no problem getting my Honda Civic through the snow, and parking for the most part doesn't require too much shoveling with 6 inches. But this snow caused me a huge amount of distress. So for those of you not familiar with Chicago, there's a couple, you know, raging debates that go on year after year. One is Cubs or Sox. The other is chairs in parking spots or no chairs in parking spots. There's a portion of the city that feels it's okay to reserve your parking spot with a chair, the justification being that if someone has spent time shoveling it out, then they deserve to have a spot waiting for them when they return home from work. The other half of the city feels it's not okay to save a spot. Parking is already pretty hard in Chicago, and when there's a lot of snow on the ground, it becomes more difficult because some streets cannot be parked on overnight if there's snow routes. And there's also fewer spots on a street because the space between cars goes from 6 to 12 inches with no snow to, you know, 2.5 feet to 3 feet between cars because there's snow piled between them. So when a third of the street's blocked off by people saving their spaces, it becomes pretty hard to find a spot. I fall squarely into the camp of it not being okay to save a spot. Ironically, even though it's been a very light snow season this year, I was really agitated by the whole chair no chair debate. I just moved into my neighborhood last summer, was waiting to see which side of the debate it fell on, and I found out in early January when there's a light snow about 2 to 3 inches. This much snow doesn't even require shoveling to get in and out of a parking spot, but sure enough, the guy down the street had blocked off the spot. In fact, he hadn't even dug out this spot. He just pulled his car out and put the cones there. And I thought, you mother, you didn't even dig and you blocked the spot. Fortunately, he was the only person to save a spot during that snow. The next one was different, though. About a quarter of the spots were blocked off. I shoveled a spot out in front of my house and parked there. But every time I left the spot open for someone else. But I thought, if I can't get a spot when I get back, I'm going to throw someone's chairs out and park in their spot. Fortunately, my comings and goings were such that for the most part, when I returned, the same spot was always there. A few days after initial snowfall, there was another 2 inches of snow. After the first one, the guy next door to me had blocked off a space behind the one I had been parking in. Now he spent about 10 minutes shoveling the extra 2 inches of snow. And when I came home later that day, I found the spot I had dug out blocked with a chair. There was a spot across the street, and I had no problem parking, but I had a big problem with a chair in the spot that I had dug out. I spent a lot of time running scenarios through my head. I thought about just taking the chair. With my car parked somewhere else, I would never be suspected. But people got shot over these chairs, and what if some unsuspecting person who unknowingly parked in my spot was to get shot for taking a space he didn't know was reserved? I considered pouring water around the chair. Maybe it would freeze, lock the chair in. Maybe the guy would slip and fall. And I thought to myself, that new blowgun I bought would be perfect to shoot a paintball at the car. I could do it just from my front window. I was completely worked up over this whole parking, leaving a chair in a parking spot. Ironically, I actually enjoy shoveling snow. There's plenty of spots on the street around the corner that I could shovel out pretty easily, but all I could think was, this guy isn't even old. He's like 25 years old. There's no reason for him to save a spot. Fortunately, this whole thing transpired while I was reading Shantideva's The Way of the Bodhisattva. For one part of it, he bemoans his many enemies before finally commenting. So like a treasure found at home that I've gained without fatigue, my enemies are helpers in my bodhisattva work and therefore should be a joy to me. Enemies or neighbors in this case are there to help teach us patience. I spent a lot of time worrying about not having a spot, and I never came home and had to search for a spot or park more than half a block away. I resolved the next time I came, I would gladly shovel a spot and happily leave it for my neighbors. If I came home and had to shovel another spot, it would be a chance for me to give another gift to my neighbors. And I silently thanked my neighbors for giving me this glimpse after weeks of Dharma-less glaring. Thanks a lot. It's my Dharma glimpse.
Wow. That's some nitty-gritty stuff. Dharma glimpses come from everyday experiences. You know, and I remember when I was first studying Buddhism and I was told that, you know, if you're going to give a talk about the Dharma, it has to be based in your own experience. Right? Because you're not talking about Buddhism. That might be like you go into a class to learn about Buddhism, and maybe the speaker is talking about the Four Noble Truths, the Eightfold Path, or some other teaching of impermanence or interdependency and so forth. Now, that's all good and fine, but the real part of the Dharma means, well, how does those teachings impact my life, in this case, the speaker's life? And unless it has that, it's not really Dharma. And this is, I think, a very major characteristic of how the Buddha taught. And unless we get that, our spiritual path will not progress, because we'll be learning a lot of knowledge, maybe, about Buddhism, but we're going to miss the whole point. And I remember there's a saying that said, how can you go south if your cart is facing north? You see? So if your basic attitude, your basic orientation is outward, in other words, to get external knowledge, it'll never impact you in a personal, internal way. So you have to do the 180-degree turn, and you have to get the message that, you mean the teaching of this? How does it impact me? How do I experience it? So in our lay minister program, you know, we really try to stress this in our curriculum and how we teach the courses. And I know that when our students first start, I have a blurb about how to give a Dharma glimpse. And I say, don't worry about how you're perceived by listeners, or is this a good Dharma talk, or is it, you have to be genuine and talk about what you know in terms of what you directly experience, and then relate that to some aspect of the teaching. Now, I remember one time I was in a small discussion group someplace, and One of the participants was a avid student, new student of Buddhism, but and he was married to a psychologist, and when that small group discussion was talking about personal experiences, his attitude was, I remember this moment, and it made me realize the kinds of perspective that people had, that in terms of Buddhism. And he said, I don't want to hear about anybody's personal experiences or their psychology or anything like that. I'm married to a psychologist. If I need some psychological help or something or problems, I could go to her. I want to learn about Buddhism and about the teachings. I want to hear no psychological mumbo jumbo. You know, I never heard it expressed that directly, so it made me realize that for some people the intellectual gate is so strong that they feel that they're, if they hear about some teaching that they didn't know about or some aspect of it, they say, that was a good Dharma talk. I learned something I didn't know about. And you added it to your repertoire of Buddhist knowledge. And we're missing the whole point of what the Buddha said his teachings are all about, in terms of understanding our own suffering and the role we play in it, the individual plays in it. You see, maybe some people want to keep learning about some teachings and then they privately apply them in their own life. When does that work take place? Should it not be publicly expressed, because it's not of no value to others? I wonder, because in our program, when people share how they worked with the readings, or when they give a Dharma glimpse, everybody comments on it and say, they comment on it not in terms of analyzing it, but how did those that material impact me? Did it reinforce some of my own experiences, or did I get some insights about it? Okay. So it's not treating it like a scholarly piece of information. But we're always saying, well, what does it mean to me? And how can I be open enough, creative enough, if you will, to ask that question, what can I learn here? What can I learn here? What kind of nugget, we call it, what kind of nugget can we find here for myself? You see, there's a lot of rocks lying around, but unless you're a trained Dharma gemologist, I call it, where you could see that this ordinary looking rock and say, hey, if I polish this up, this is a diamond. You'd have to have that trained eye. And then you have a precious gift because you could see the Dharma teachings all over. You know? And it's not something that you get once and you say, oh, it's over. I know about how to go about getting the Dharma teachings. You have to keep going. You can't rest on any laurels. That wilts very fast. You have to keep going, freshly being open to what the moment is bringing you, whether it's a snowy street in Chicago or no matter where you live, what the weather is, the Dharma has all kind of potential nuggets, even the people or negative things that you say, I don't like this. You have to learn how to find the nuggets in all things. So that's all for this morning's broadcast. And thank you for calling in. and you have a very beautiful Dharma-filled nugget day. Thank you.